And now Hazel is going to read our first Bible reading, which is from Genesis chapter 11.
Genesis chapter 11, verses 26 and to verse 5 of chapter 12. After Terah had lived 70 years, he became the father of Abraham, Nahor and Haran. This is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abraham, Nahor and Haran became the father of Lot. While his father, Terah, was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abraham and Nahor both married. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Ishka. Now Sarai was barren. She had no children. Terah took his son Abraham, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abraham, and together they set out for Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And June is going to read to us our second reading, and it's found in Genesis.
God's covenant with Abraham. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward." But Abraham said, "O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abraham said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Amen.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, to say that we love him. Father, we pray that you will give us attentive hearts as we listen to your word. Bless Fred as he brings it, and teach us what you would have us know. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So you're probably gathered by now. I want us to look at Abraham. We often look at New Testament things, although we look at, in this church, we look at Old Testament things as well. But a lot of the things that we used to learn when I was young, and most of you, often we don't hear much about these days. And so I thought we'd look at Abraham and see what we could learn from that. It was quite interesting when I started looking at this. I found out one or two things that I didn't know before. One or two things that when I'd listened to other people years ago, the scripture didn't quite agree with it, which surprised me. But that points to the fact that we need to study God's word ourselves, that it's important that we don't just listen to the speaker and accept everything that's said, but we read God's word and see if it's true. And most times here, I think we don't have a problem with that. But it's good for us to read God's word, to study God's word, and to learn more about him and what he wants from us. In a lot of churches, it's very difficult to get people to come to prayer meetings and to come to Bible studies. And in actual fact, in this church, the proportion of the congregation that come to prayer meetings and Bible studies is much better than I would think most big churches is. Now, that was just a thought that came to me. It wasn't what I'd planned. But when I looked at this, I discovered, I wonder if anybody knows how long after the flood Abraham was born. I'd never really thought about this. Well, if we read these chapters in Genesis, it was just short of 400 years from the flood to Abraham. And we read there about Abraham being born and his two brothers and Haran. Now, just a thought here when we're reading it. Abraham's name was changed. I'm sure most of you know this, maybe all of you know this. It was Abram to start with, and then it was changed to Abraham. It's the same person, so we'll call him Abraham for convenience. And it tells us there that his brother Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, where he was born. And it also tells us there that Abraham's wife was called Sarai. I think that's, I'm not sure if I pronounce it right, but that was changed to Sarah. God changed both their names further along. The thing that struck me when I particularly read this was I'd always been of the understanding from what people, preachers I'd listened to and what I'd been taught, was that God called Abraham to go out to, well, it tells us here, Canaan. God said to the Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you," which obviously was Canaan from what we've read. But I was always under the impression that God spoke to Abraham while he was still in Ur of the Chaldeans, and that Abraham took his father and all the rest of them to set off to go, and then they stopped at Haran and they didn't go any further, and this was really not being obedient to God. And then God spoke Abraham again after his dad had died. Well, that isn't what it says here, and I think it doesn't really matter too much to us now, that, but it is important that we tell people the truth about Scripture. We can mislead people and lead them astray if we don't stick to the truth of the Bible. In actual fact, if we read this carefully, terror, it tells us here, and Hazel read it, terror, he took Abraham and Lot and Abraham's wife with him, and they set off to go to Canaan. But then they stopped at Haran. Now, it doesn't actually tell us exactly when God spoke to Abraham, but it tells us here that it was Terah who took his family as far as Haran. And then it tells us that God spoke to Abraham and told him to go out to this land that God would show him. And so Abraham took Lot with him and his wife and all his possessions and went to the land of Canaan. But if we do our sums from the age of the people here, we find that Terah was still alive. He hadn't died when Abraham left Haran and went on to Canaan. So that is just something that particularly struck me, that we often listen to people and take what they say as absolutely that's it, and we really should study God's word and make sure that we've got it right. The other thing that struck me as I read through these chapters was that Abram was very much like us. He did sometimes what God wanted him to do, but he also got in a muddle and did things wrong as well. Maybe we can take some consolation in that. These few verses here, God said to Abram, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be blessed. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people of the earth will be blessed through you. And this promise was to a man who had no children, his wife had no children, and yet he obeyed God. He taught Hazel read further on that he went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there, and God had told him that he would make him a great nation. Verse 7 of chapter 12, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, this is after he's arrived in Canaan, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. This land which God promised to Abraham. And so it struck me very much. And as we look further on, God makes this promise again to Abraham, makes a covenant with him, that God told Abraham that his descendants would possess this land. But we'll look at that a little bit further on. So Abraham, if we look at chapter 12 and verse 10, it tells us that there was a famine. And this is where we see Abraham getting in a bit of a muddle, because he says, he went down to Egypt because there was food there. We can remember that happening later on as well with Joseph. Joseph's brothers went down there and the whole family ended up there because there was a famine and there was food. It must have been quite a fertile area, must Egypt, at that time. But Abraham, when he gets down there, he thinks, now, my wife is a beautiful woman and these people might kill me if they know she's my wife so that they can have her. So he said, you say that you're my sister. Lies don't pay off. because it ended up creating problems for everybody, and God intervened, and Abraham and all his family were asked to leave, made to leave Egypt because Abraham had deceived the king, Pharaoh, in Egypt. So he was quite capable of doing things his way and getting them in a muddle. And then we find, if we look to chapter 15, that Abraham's concerned about this fact that he hasn't got any children. God's promised him he would make him a nation, but he still hasn't any children. And so we find him speaking to God and saying, Eliezer from Damascus is going to inherit all that I have. He's a servant in my house, but I have no children. And so, and God makes that promise again to him. In verse 4, it tells us God's word. The word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And he took him outside and showed him the heavens, the stars, and said, count them if you can, because your descendants will be as many. And so Abram, it tells in verse 6, Abram believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. So Abram believed God, the same God as we worship today. But then we find that Sarai, as it was still then, comes up with a plan. God's not getting on with the job. He's promised me a son, and he's not getting on with it. We'll do it our way. And so Sarah says to Abraham, I've got a plan. I've got a maid, an Egyptian maid. Most of you know all this to start with, but it's not bad for us to look at it again. You take her as your wife, and she gives this maid to Abraham as his wife, and maybe we can produce a child this way, that we can have a son. And of course, Hagar has a son. And this creates all manner of problems in the household, between the different members of the family. Hagar is obviously proud because she's going to have a child and Sarah hasn't, and so it becomes a state of chaos really, and it becomes just a mess. And I think that there's a lesson there in these words that we've got here, that God, as we will see later on, God is reliable and God has a plan, had a plan for Abraham, and he has a plan for us as well. Sometimes we try to do things our way and it generally doesn't work. And then if we look again at this chapter 17 we get this covenant that God makes with Abraham. Abraham fell on his face and said to God, I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. And God said, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Now, some people will say that Israel now, which is in part of the land of Canaan, it doesn't possess all the land of Canaan at this time, but some people will say Israel isn't God's chosen people anymore, and that this doesn't apply anymore. But God doesn't break his word, and God has kept this nation, even though it's been persecuted and it's disobeyed God and still does today, God's promise still stands, because God doesn't break his promises. And one day I believe that Israel will possess this land. It doesn't tell us when, but God has made that promise to Israel, and I can't see anywhere in Scripture where God has abandoned Israel. And if we see all the countries round about, or most of the countries round about Israel, want to get rid of it, want to destroy it, and have done for years and years, but it hasn't happened. It's a small nation. It's a nation that has regularly disobeyed God and has been punished for it. But I understand that there are more Jews who have become Christians now than ever before. And I think I'm right in saying, some of you will correct me probably if I'm wrong, but I think there's more Jews in Israel now in that land than there's ever been. And God did say that he would bring them back. If we read on to chapter 21, it tells us the birth of Isaac. So God did keep his promise to Abraham, and Isaac was born to Sarah. You can imagine the celebration that they had. They were both old, but they had this son, which was their son, which God had promised, the one who he was going to make into a great nation, and nations were going to come from Abraham. And so we find there that they've got this son. And so this son grows. We're not sure how old he is, but then we find, and this might sound ridiculous to people, but God tells Abraham to go and sacrifice this son as a burnt sacrifice. But I think there's been a big change in Abraham somewhere along the way, because this son that he wanted so much, he's prepared to do that for God. is prepared to give up all that he wanted to obey God. We find as that he took two servants, and he took Isaac and the wood for the fire and some fire and a knife, and off he goes. And 3 days on, he stops and he says to the servants, "You stay here while we go and worship God, and we will come back to you." What amazing faith in God. He's going to sacrifice his son, but yet he still believes that he'll come back with his son. And we know the story, how they got to the mountain, and Abram built the altar and tied up Isaac and put him on the altar, and then he took the knife. And I've seen pictures there painted of this, and Abram's got his hand up here with the big knife in his hand. I don't think it would be like that. It doesn't say it was like that. It says that he took the knife, and when he took the knife, the angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, "Now I know that you believe in me, that you will be faithful to me." The things that I wanted us to learn from that really was that, well, two things really, and one thing that struck me recently: we get concerned about the numbers that we have here in the church, that they're getting less, and they have of recent time got less for various reasons. But you know, some churches have done all sorts of things to get people in, and they sometimes work and they sometimes don't. But I believe, just like God had a plan for Abraham, he has a plan for this church. He's kept it going a long time, and I don't think that we should jump into doing things that we think might be good, but we should be led by God. The important thing is that we are in the right place with God, that we know him. Not just that we know about him, that we know him. And he will guide us, and he will bring people. I believe God will bring people in. It won't be us that brings people in, it'll be God in his time. And the other thing that I thought about this, which I mentioned already, is that we as Christians need to obey God. We've got God's word, which tells us the things we should do and some of the things that we shouldn't do. And sadly, our country and many of our church leaders have accepted things that we shouldn't do. But Abraham, sometimes he got in a muddle and he did things wrong. He did it his way. But in the end, he did it God's way. And we should be obedient to God. And people, if we know God and if we follow his ways, people will see something different about us, and they'll want to know more about us and know more about God, and they'll want to come in and learn. And it is important that we study God's word and learn from it. You know, some people today think that a lot of this in here is fairy stories. But the more archaeological things they find these days prove that a lot of the things in Scripture were true, that even some Christians didn't think were possible. But they find, archaeologists have found things which prove some of the things in Scripture. So we need to trust God's word. Amen.
Amen.